This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan Vermeulen, good afternoon to you. As always, an absolute pleasure to have you with us at 10 to 6 on this Wednesday. Jan, as always, you have a whole bunch of interesting stories on your site. If anybody's interested, I'm going to refer them to mybroadband.co.za. But I'd really like you to take us through your top three or four stories with emphasis on the most interesting ones.
Sure thing, and good afternoon. So let's begin. We are short on time and have plenty to get through. So this morning, we published a story that I have been working on for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's a story about a local business, security company, I guess, who licensed the rights to a system called ViSec. It's a license plate recognition service, or an automatic number plate recognition service. And there was a huge falling out between the owners of the technology and the South African business partner, to the point where the US-based tech company locked the South African business partner out of the system, moved the server, and locked the South African people out of their own system, and that's where the South Africans then went to court. Fortunately, the Americans had not moved the servers out of the country, and so they were able to approach the High Court with an ex parte application. This is the Western Cape High Court, which means only they appear before the judge. Now, this is where things get quite John Grisham and quite detailed. I'm not going to get into that.
Jan, just give a bit of context to the story. So where is this software, or where is it used?
Yeah, so what made the story supremely interesting to me is that this system is in use in neighborhoods and in conservation all over South Africa.
Okay.
And so what happened was that for a brief time in April, the system went down completely, and it was down for hours.
Okay.
And this had folks in the conservation industry in particular very concerned, because they are dependent on – this is, you know, not the only thing that they have in place, but it's certainly one of the ways that they protect against poaching. And so without this license plate recognition system in place – that's one of, you know, their key defenses,
and
key alerts against poachers that's completely offline. The reason the system was offline is because ViSec Sub-Sahara went to the Western Cape High Court, got a court order to have the servers returned to them. Now, they were so scared that there was some kind of tripwire or something else that would cause the system to be completely wiped or destroyed when they touched it, that they decided, no, let's bring the whole server down and then clone the hard drives. So cloning literally is what it sounds like. They make an exact replica of the hard drives and then work on the clones to make sure, you know, that they can bring the system back up safely and under their control. And as I said, that's where things get quite hairy, and we don't really have time for it in one radio show to talk about it. I've got enough here to write probably a series of novels, not just one. But that's the reason why this was such a big deal. And the short of it is, as best I can piece together, this American company called Filex Inc. They were dealing quite disingenuously with the South African company ViSec Sub-Sahara. There was money exchanged and sale of share agreements and so on and so forth. But suffice it to say that the money dried up. And then Filex got aggressive, and that's when they decided, no, you know, we're going to move our servers, we're going to lock ViSec Sub-Sahara out, and they have been actively hunting new buyers for the technology, even though the license belongs to ViSec Sub-Sahara. And so, you know, they said, no, we've canceled that license and blah, 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 but, you know, that's still an open legal question that has not been pronounced on by a court. And so, there's still quite a lot of ugliness and unanswered questions in this, but, hopefully now with it seeing the light of day, we'll see some kind of resolution. If not, you know, for the South African business that has gone through a rough time, more so for their clients, who have been severely disadvantaged by, what it seems to be like a balkanization almost of the automatic number plate recognition community in South Africa, which used to be able to kind of speak to a single cloud point, and now, you know, because of this fight, the whole community has fractured.
Oh, that's an interesting term, balkanization of the license plate recognition system. I like that. What else have you got for us, Jan?
Right. So I know we've been talking about Telegram.
Yes,
so
we
have. I wanted to just touch on that because you gave me homework last time.
Yes.
And that was to check out Telegram on iPhone. And folks have been writing in and phoning in to talk about how Telegram on iPhone is giving them trouble. And honestly, I've checked. I've got two accounts. I've got a US-based account and a South African account. And I was able to download the official Telegram app for iPhone through either account onto a relatively old iPhone. The oldest one I've got is an iPhone 6S. And it works. And as I said, like one of the benefits of Telegram is that I'm able to actually continue using it on my other device and on my laptop while then logging into it from this extra iPhone I organized. And I haven't run into any issues. So if listeners are running into any further issues on iPhone for Android, iPhone for iOS, sorry, please let me know. And I'll start looking into it, but, there shouldn't be. You should be able to install it and go through the same registration process as WhatsApp, and it should just work.
Okay, Jan, thanks for that. That's important because we've kind of stopped with WhatsApp. In fact, we have stopped with WhatsApp. So it is really important for our listeners to download Telegram and start using it because
that's what
it's crucial.
When you try to say download and upgrade in the same
exactly,
word.
Exactly. The brain just goes way too fast. And finally, what have you got for us that's going to make us go wow?
Yeah. Sure. So a lot of things, and I should end on a positive story, but there's another negative story I've worked on in the last week, which is the DA. That's being an inhibitor to fiber rollouts in Tshwane in particular.
Interesting.
They've rolled out a new fee structure for wayleaves. Wayleaves are the permission slips that you get from government to allow you to dig in the road, right? So all this frustrating digging that's happening that people don't like, you have to get permission to do that. You can't just do it.
Well, I suppose they had to find an income stream to pay themselves 18% extra, didn't they?
Oof. Yeah, from your words, not mine. But certainly the amount of the money, you know, the issue of money in Tshwane has come up, and the fact, you know, that they might be using this to balance their budgets on a municipal level has come up. And Tshwane and people who work at Tshwane, you know, anonymously have been quite, vocally, opposing the story that I wrote. You know, that said, I mean, one does understand that what's happening is that some fiber contractors are hitting key infrastructure. They're breaking it, electricity and water lines. And then, you know, when the city says, hey, pay to fix this, then they plead poverty. And so what the city has done is they've implemented a 250,000 rand security deposit per wayleave, up to 3 million rand for any amount of wayleaves per year. And, but like, if you think about it, that to a company's cash flow is a tremendous amount of money.
Absolutely.
To give you an idea, a wayleave is a thing that you have to get based on how much you can dig on one day. So you have to be able to open the hole on one day and close it on one day. It doesn't mean you have to complete the work in one day, but that's basically, you know. So if you need to dig 2 kilometers, that can be 5 wayleaves, maybe even more, right? I'm thumb-sucking. And so the industry has said, we understand there's a problem here. Here, you know, perhaps here is, how we can fix it. The city has doubled down on the system of having a security deposit in place. On top of that, they have put a fee structure in place to charge 211 rand per kilometer per year for running telecommunications infrastructure in the road reserve. And so now that's raised questions because it's not explained adequately. They're like, hang on, what does this mean? Does this mean that Telkom now has to pay you millions of rand a year for the fiber that they already have in the ground? You know, like, what do you mean? 211 rand per kilometer per year.
Just
anyway. And the other thing that's quite discriminatory is that this is only for the telecommunications industry. Nobody else who needs a wayleave are charged these tariffs. They charged, you know, the much lower tariffs compared to the telecommunications industry.
Jan, thank you so much. That's where we have to leave it today. We are going to run out of time. Look forward to speaking to you next week.